1, beginning of verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. What are you doing, Pastor Tamer, reading the Christmas story? Don't you know Christmas is history? Well, it is with some people, but not with me. It lives forever in my heart. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what those people experienced? Those people experienced. Here's a boy going with a girl, and they're talking about getting married. In fact, they're engaged to get married. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. Honest, Joseph. There's no man involved here, but a holy angel of God named Gabriel came and visited me and told me that I'm going to have a baby and that that holy thing that's born of me will be the product of the Spirit of God. And then an angel appeared to Joseph, verified the story. Don't be afraid to take her for your wife. That thing that's in her is of me. That's why he's called the Son of God. And it says genealogy in Luke, I believe, that as was supposed, he was the son of Joseph, as was supposed, but he was the Son of God in reality. The only begotten Son of God. Now, Jesus was only one of the sons of men, but he was the only Son of God. See the difference? You can read the two genealogies and figure that out in a hurry. He was only one of the sons of men, but he was the only Son of God. Praise the Lord. So Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's all I've preached on at Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. And I want to talk about that again today for a while, because I think it's so important that we understand who this baby child was, who this baby child is, and not just another statistic, not just another baby born and to be put in the births column in the newspaper. No, this was a special child. They shall call his name Emmanuel. This was an unique child, which being interpreted is God with us. That doesn't mean, like some say, God was in the church service, or we had a visiting minister, and he preached, and it was like God was with us, God was with him. That's true, that's all true, but that's not what this means. This means that Emmanuel is God. Amen. That's what it means, and he just happens to be with us now in flesh. Now, a lot of people, I understand, have trouble understanding the Godhead. I don't, and I'll tell you why I don't, because I understand it. Amen. So I don't have trouble. Okay, but I'll tell you how I understand it and why I understand it so easily and why I want you to understand the simple understanding of the Godhead. There are not three gods. Amen. There is not a trinity of gods as is taught in so many religious institutions, probably even this weekend or this day. But it is amazing how when the Christmas season comes around, how many Trinitarians become oneness. It's really amazing, and I have all kinds of quotes on file from Trinitarians who say that Jesus was God in the flesh, but the only time they say it is at Christmas time. I wish they would get the Holy Ghost so they'd have the boldness to say it year-round. They can't help but say it at Christmas time, or they would be diametrically opposed to the Christmas music that comes over the speaker systems and so many places of business today. And somebody told me, yes, brother, God bless you. I went through the park, Irvine Park, through Christmas Village up there. How many went through that? Christmas Village up in Irvine Park in Chippewa. Oh, man, when I came in, they were singing about Jesus Christ, the Savior, on the public address system, and oh, did I ever enjoy, it was cold out, but I rolled both of my windows down and I listened. I loved it. They have a little over 0.4 mile of Christmas lights up at the Irvine Park in Chippewa, down where the water would be ice if it was water now, you know, down in the lower part, not up across from the fairground entrance, but down below. And 0.4 mile in and 0.4 mile out, the same road and lights on both sides and a nativity scene there, nothing like Dale Lunderville's, you know, where it's alive and flesh and blood and moving, praise the Lord. That's really good. I said, if you lost the Christmas spirit, I said, just go on out to the Lunderville's and drive slow or stop in and listen to that. I was surprised. I drove up and my wife was playing the piano and her sister was playing the organ over their speaker system. It really blessed me. And then to see that actor out there moving, and my wife says, it's real, it's alive. And it was. It was beautiful. Thank you, brother, for having us. So, Nathan Nichols said, Dad, if people don't understand the Trinity, how come they believe it? He said that as a little boy a while ago, and that was kind of cute. But it is amazing how people will go on believing something without understanding it, or without coming to an understanding it, or trying to understand it. And one thing I don't want the doctrine of the oneness to become something that we're taught in the church and never get a revelation of. Something that we agree to because this is the church we go to, but we never get a revelation of, we never get a real understanding of it. You all need to have a revelation of the oneness. Now, I heard Billy Graham preach. I was in the audience of 20,000 people, I think it was, and I heard him when he said, he was starting to explain the Trinity, and he stopped. He threw up his hands and he says, don't ask me to explain it, I can't. And I was chafing at the bit. I said, well, let me get up and explain the oneness then. Because I can do that. I can explain the oneness to my satisfaction. I didn't say to yours. I said, I can explain it to my satisfaction because it does take a revelation. And if you don't have the revelation, you need it. Now, somebody got the revelation. She's sitting there broadly smiling right now in one of the services here just a few weeks ago. I'll never forget it. I was watching you, and it dawned on her, and it reminded me, Sister Mina, it reminded me of when we first came to this church, and we had a lot of new people come in, and we were down in the basement. We sat in a circle, I think, at that time, because that was the whole church, down in the basement of the old fellowship hall, of the stone building, where in the Lower Learning Center. And and I remember teaching on the Godhead, and I remember people, I see it! And they got all excited. They'd talk in tongues, shake, and worship the Lord. They would see it. It would dawn on them that the Bible does talk about a Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it also talks about a Father and Son over and over in the Scriptures and leaves the Holy Ghost out. And that's exciting to talk about, isn't it? We've talked about it recently in the car. Had a wonderful time talking about the doctrine of the Father and the Son. Not the doctrine of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but the doctrine of the Father and the Son. That's what it's all about. That's what the Bible is all about, the doctrine of the Father and the Son. But you have to understand that God is a spirit. And it took flesh to save us. God could not save us without a body, without flesh to hurt, without blood to shed. No, that's the revelation right there. Isn't that simple? You all got it if you'll receive it.
Yes, hallelujah.
You've all got it if you'll receive it. The Bible specifically says God is not a man.
Yes.
The Bible says it again. God is not a man. Okay, everybody say that.
God is not a man.
You believe that?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. Okay, now say this with me. I'll quote a portion of John 4:24. God is a spirit.
God is a spirit.
Okay, put it together. God is not a man. God is a spirit. But that spirit, the Bible says, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. That doesn't make two. God retains being a spirit and Jesus is a man.
And God was in Jesus to save the world.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now listen to Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Okay, the Godhead, I'm going to make a blank statement here. The Godhead cannot be understood apart from understanding salvation. That's why there is a so-called, the way we define the word, Godhead. Because God couldn't save anybody without a body, without flesh, without blood. It took flesh and blood to save you. And so God became a man with flesh, with blood, that he might save us. So we can say Jesus is God. Oh, no, no, he's not God. I repeat, Jesus is God.
Yes.
Oh, if some of you are not convinced yet, I repeat with all the authority of God's word, Jesus Christ is God Almighty.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the way it is. It's no other way. Praise the Lord. That's a lot of love, isn't it? Amen. Okay, so let's delve into it a little bit. The first verse of the Holy Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No. In the beginning, Jesus. No. It doesn't say that. His name was not yet revealed. But he was not born without a name. They shall call his name Jehovah, Savior, Salvation, Jesus. Jesus is God's plan of salvation. Salvation is a person. Jesus never fails, so salvation can never fail. Put your trust in him. You won't be let down. Hallelujah. Okay? In the beginning, God. It's God alone and nobody else. No Father, no Son, no Holy Ghost. It's God. That's what it says. In the beginning, God. Nobody else mentioned, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus' name wasn't revealed yet. Now, over 24 times, in the Old Testament, God alone takes credit for creation. God alone takes credit for creation. Isaiah 43:15. I am the Lord, your holy, capital zero, N-E. The Holy One. Not the Holy Two, not the Holy Three. I said I believe in the Father and the Son doctrine. Okay, let me explain that. John 10:30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I'm not attacking the Trinity. I'm explaining the Godhead. Okay? Now, okay, over 24 times in the Old Testament, God alone takes credit for creation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Isaiah 41:20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Isaiah 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is none else.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And then another 21:2 times, he says the same thing over and over. He alone takes credit for creation in the Old Testament. But that God that's speaking there is speaking before his incarnation. Oh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible goes on and says he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Again, not them. Not us. Him. And the world was made by him. And he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So, God said all those things before his incarnation. The flesh wasn't named yet. Oh, yes, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes, but not the name Jesus. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, after the fall in the Garden of Eden, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And a lot of us have studied that scripture in depth, we know that's the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus. So Jesus didn't leave people without hope. They had fallen. They were put out of the Garden of Eden, but he did not leave them with hope. He said to the devil, I'll put enmity. God started a war right there. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It's going to bruise your head, devil. Yeah, you bruise his heel. That's Calvary. But he's going to bruise your head. That's your defeat, total defeat, once and for all. Praise the Lord. So after the fall, and beginning with Genesis 3:15, the Old Testament scriptures are replete with prophecies and promises of a Savior to come, like Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. How about Deuteronomy 18:15? The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me. Him shall ye hear, and whosoever doesn't hear him will be cut off. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. Psalm 40, verse 7. And Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel. We have the fulfillment of that scripture right here in Matthew 1:23. Isaiah 9:6, I just quoted it. And Ezekiel 21:27, I will overturn it until he come whose right it is. And unto him we're going to give that throne and that kingdom. Praise the Lord. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And on the Old Testament scriptures go. I say the Old Testament's replete with prophecies and promises that a Messiah would come. Praise God, that was after the fall. So who will lift us from the fall? Who is going to come and save us? He gave all these promises. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament and see if he identifies the man, the person who will come and save us. Isaiah 25:9. Isaiah, I didn't say Matthew, I didn't say Mark, I didn't say Luke, didn't say John, didn't say Acts, didn't say Romans, didn't say 1 Corinthians, didn't say 2 Corinthians, and so on. I said Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. Now we're talking about Christmas here. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. And he will save us. Now that's man talking. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. All the promises, even the identification of the Savior given in the Old Testament before Jesus was given a name, or had a name, or was born with a name. Isaiah 35:4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45:21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Isaiah 49:26, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Listen to this. He also is become my salvation. Who is this prophesied one? Who is this Messiah that's coming? He tells us in Isaiah 12:2, it's Jehovah. He shall become my salvation. He shall become flesh and blood. He shall take on flesh and blood. And he'll suffer, bleed, and die for the sins of the world, becoming my salvation. Okay, so the Old Testament prophecy said he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And the New Testament prophecy say he's come, he's come, he's come. Here he is, here he is. Praise the Lord. Well, who prophesied he's coming? God Almighty. Well, who did he identify as the one who was coming? God Almighty identified himself as the one who would come and save us. Him and him alone and not somebody else. Praise the Lord. I like that. I like that. Hallelujah. So, we have sinned. I think we'll all admit that. One of the minds going now. Some of us think our children are taught to lie, taught to cheat, taught to sneak. I said to somebody just recently, I said, no, they were born with that. Yes. And you know who they got it from? You, Daddy, and you, Mommy. Because you were born with it and you passed it right on to your own kids. Right? Right. So let's not look holy and pious when we're a bunch of sinners.
Yes.
only saved by grace and nothing but. Praise God. Nothing to boast of but Jesus Christ. No good works to boast in. Nothing but Calvary to boast in. Hallelujah. Bethlehem, Calvary, death, burial, resurrection, ascension into heaven. Our high priest praying for us. Nothing else to boast of. Hallelujah. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is my Savior. There is no other Savior. Good works can't save us. You go to church every Sunday. That won't save you. You read your Bible and pray every day. That won't save you. You can memorize scripture after scripture, chapter after chapter, book after book. That won't save you. Jesus Christ is the only thing, the only one that can save you. Praise the Lord. That's all. There is no other. He's our Savior. So what can we do? What can we bring Him? Nothing. Just our worship. Hebrews 13:15. That's all we can bring is our worship to Him. Praise God. Praise God. So we sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But God can't die. So how can He suffer for our sins if He can't die? He can't do it. God is not a man. God is a spirit. Jesus said after His resurrection, wait a minute, handle me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bones such as you see me have. I'm not a spirit. I'm a person. Here I am. I'm Jesus Christ. God Almighty in the flesh. Okay, listen to it again. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you go down to verse 14 and pick up the continuity again. As though everything else was parenthetical. It just goes that way. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, that Word is God. It says so. That's why the Bible can say Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, didn't God become something He never was when He became flesh? That's not the point. The point is, before He became flesh, He was the Word. While He was in the flesh, He was the Word. And after His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, He's still the Word. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I love it. I'm oneness. From here to here. Through and through. This side too. Praise God. I see it. I see it. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now listen to what the bread is. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You want to live? Jesus said, except you eat the flesh, drink the blood of the Son of Man, you're not going to live. You have to understand the spiritual understanding of it. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Listen to this. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Praise God. Amen. It took flesh to save us. Blood is necessary for salvation. See, it would take a human being to save us. Because it took flesh and blood. That's what human beings are made of. And so Jesus, and oh please read it. Read Hebrews 2 again before this day is over. Read Philippians chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews and Philippians, before this day is over, and understand, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He condescended. He became one of us. He took on humanity. He wasn't fallen, so He was sinless. But His flesh was like unto, the Bible says, sinful flesh. It says, like unto sinful flesh. In other words, it was sin that caused us to get tired and weary. And yet he condescended to that state that He was born of a little Israeli maiden and entered into this world. He got tired, He got hungry, He got thirsty. He died. He was crucified in weakness, the Bible says. But He lived by the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, I can't say this.
Amen. So we need a man to come and save us. And this man would become the head of a new race. Huh? Not the fallen race. Jesus, I heard somebody said one time, suggested, and God bless him. I appreciate dialogue and I appreciate talking. Somebody said that Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 15, replaced, he was the second Adam, and he replaced the first Adam. Or he was the last Adam and he replaced the first Adam. I got thinking about that and I said, no, I said to myself, he didn't replace the first Adam because the first Adam was the head of the fallen race, of the human race. That's not Jesus. Jesus is the head of the spiritual race. Jesus didn't come to replace Adam, he came to redeem Adam. Hallelujah. He didn't come to replace Adam, he came to redeem Adam. He became not the replacement for the first Adam, he became the last Adam, the second man, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. So to me, he's the head of a brand new race, and except you're born again, you cannot enter. You have to be a member of that race, of his, the race of which he is the head. Praise the Lord. Well, who would this man be? Would it be Abel? No, it wouldn't be Abel. Would it be Seth? No. Would it be Enoch? Would it be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, or one of the other prophets, Isaiah? Would it be John the Baptist? No, because they were all born in sin. This Savior must be without sin. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 1:9. That was John 1:29. 1 Peter 1:19. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It had to be that way. He had to be perfect, sinless, to be our Savior. Because if he died for somebody else with sin in his body or his blood, then he could only save whoever he pushed off the railroad track to save from dying from the onrushing train or push out of the way of a semi coming down the road. He could only save one or two or three, or somebody could probably jump in a, what do they call it in the army, somebody's foxhole or something, maybe save a few people at a time, or maybe he could save a lot of people, maybe hundreds of people in an airplane or something, but not the whole world. And you could only save them temporarily, but Jesus Christ came and did something that has the potential to save everybody in the world, and not just temporarily, but forever. Because he rose from the dead to live forever and ever. Praise God. So we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He was absolutely perfect, sinless. That's what it took to save us. He died, and then death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. He burst forth on that third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what it took to save us. That's why I'm happy. I'm saved. Mm-hmm. I'm saved and I know I'm saved. Praise God. So sin separated from God. Sin, the Bible says, Isaiah 59:1, I think it is, that sin, your sins have separated between you and your God. Here's man, and here's God over here, and here's this broad, wide chasm that separates us. Sin. You know what Jesus did? He stood in the middle. He became sin. And he stretched out his hands from this side to this side. And he reconciled God to man, man to God. Praise God. He who knew no sin became sin for us that he might bring us to God. Oh, he did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Some people think they can go straight to God. No. You don't go to God, but through Jesus. That's what the Bible said. Some people believe in God, but not Jesus. They're still lost. They believe in 100 gods. They're still lost. You have to believe in Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that factual. It's that simple. Whosoever denieth the Son does not have the Father. But whoever has the Son gets the Father also. The Holy Ghost is left out of this verse. See, that's my doctrine of the Father and the Son. We'll talk more about that as people get more and more interested in it. Praise the Lord. So, the point is, you cannot know the Father apart from the Son. What are we saying? We're saying God's a spirit, and Jesus is flesh and blood. And you can't know God apart from Jesus Christ. Because he said, no man can do it. No man come unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. Well, should I say a few other things so you can,
yes,
scratch your brains once in a while? Yes. You know, you read somewhere in some of this Godhead teaching that the sonship is an office. I would like to declare this morning that the sonship is not merely an office. The sonship is a relationship. The Father and the Son is not an office. It's a relationship. Got it? about it. It'll bless you from morning till night. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's the Son who is high priest forever. I'll tell you something. Let me say it again. The sonship of Christ is not an office. It is a relationship. That's salvation. The Son is the high priest forever. That is salvation. Jesus didn't say, he that hath seen the Father hath seen me. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's salvation. The Jews thought they knew the Father, but they didn't. They were lost. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's salvation. Can I shock you? I said it before. I don't know how many were listening, but listen to it again. Did you know that Jesus was never born again? He didn't need to be born again. We were the ones that needed to be born again. That's why I say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't need to change. He brought a change for us.
Yes.
We're the ones that need to change. Praise God. So I go on and say Jesus never was born again. When he was born in Bethlehem, he was born of the Spirit. That holy thing that's born in thee shall be of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was never born twice, once of the flesh and once of the Spirit. The instant he was born of the flesh, he was born of the Spirit. The instant he was born of the Spirit, he was born of the flesh. Yoo-hoo!
Yeah.
Hello!
Yeah.
Praise the Lord!
Yeah.
Come on! We got a wonderful Savior!
Yeah.
Hallelujah! A unique man! Yeah. God Almighty in flesh, the Holy One of Israel!
Yeah.
Among us! Praise God! Praise God! So, he was born of the Spirit and born of the flesh simultaneously.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? And you know what he's doing? I mean, it's kind of like he said, how do you like me? Born of the Spirit, born of the flesh in one instant. How do you like me? He says, which of you convicts of me of sin? How'd you like to be able to do that? Look at an audience or a congregation of people and say, which of you convicts of me of sin? And then he brings us the good news and says, you can have it, but you must be born again.
Praise.
He didn't need to be born again. We need to be born again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then we can respond to the devil's temptations. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written.
Right.
And we can function under the authority of the Holy Scriptures, which we need to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, they just signaled me I have 5 minutes left. I was hoping this day would never end.
Yeah.
I love talking about this. Praise God. So Jesus never spent a day in his life needing a new birth experience. But we spend every day in our lives needing a new birth experience,
yes,
until we're born again. That's why Jesus came and said, Nicodemus, I know you're a pastor of a local assembly here in Jerusalem, but you're not too smart, man. How is it you don't know these things? It's in the Old Testament, Nick. Nicodemus? It's in the Old Testament, or I wouldn't have said it. How come you don't know? New Testament wasn't written when Jesus said that. So it had to be in the Old. It's there, folks. Find it. It's there, folks. The new birth is in the Old Testament. Find it. Hallelujah. I found it. And I love it. I don't let go easy. When I get my teeth in it, it's going to get digested or spewed out. I love it. Praise God. I said that, didn't I? Jesus was not made in the likeness of God. He was God.
Amen.
He was made in the likeness of man.
Amen.
That's what it says. He was not made in the likeness of God. He was made in the likeness of man. That's salvation.
Yes.
That's salvation. If he was made in the likeness of God, that would not have been salvation. But being made in the likeness of man brought us salvation. And oh my, we're out of time, and I have...
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Praise God. God bless you.